The story that we come to this morning in the fourth chapter of Genesis is a story of heartbreak and disappointment. It's a story of family tragedy, domestic violence, which is so common today. You see, in Genesis 1 and 2, the Bible says, God created the heaven and the earth. And God, in the first two chapters, was putting everything together. But in the third chapter, we found the introduction of sin into the world that God had created, perfect and innocent. And because of man's sin, we see death, we see sickness, we see violence, we see crime, we see pollution, we see heartache. Because of man's disobedience. Well, this morning we see sin as it enters into the family unit. We see a brother killing his own brother. We're all familiar with the story of Cain killing Abel. Cain, in anger, slew his brother. In the Epistle of Jude, it talks about those who have gone the way of Cain, which is the way of unbelief, the way of violence, the way of anger, the way of murder. And so in this very first family that ever existed, this first child born is born with a sin nature. You know, Adam and Eve never had any children. They were just the two of them created by God. And I imagine it kind of just freaked them out when Eve was pregnant and her stomach started to grow. Maybe Adam said, Eve, you need to go on a diet. You're eating too much. They didn't know what was going on. Think about it. And can you imagine the wonder that must have filled their heart when that first child was born? Now, Adam was created just by the Lord taking the dust of the earth and forming man and breathing into his nostrils. He became the breath of life. And then Eve was created out of Adam. But now we see Adam and Eve producing, as God said. God had said, be fruitful and multiply. And so they gave birth to two sons, one named Cain, one named Abel. And we see the sin nature being transmitted, as the New Testament teaches, from Adam to his sons, and from his sons to his sons, all the way down until the entire human race has been tainted by sin. You see, we need to understand that the Bible teaches every human being is born with a sinful nature. And that sooner or later, that sin nature will manifest itself in acts of sin. But we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And it's that sin nature that is manufacturing the sin that even the smallest child is born with. As we look at Cain, he was born with that sin nature. Now our focus is on Cain, not Abel. Cain is the focus of this chapter. And it's interesting that Cain, in verse 7, is told by God that if he was to do well, verse 7, notice it with me, that he would be accepted. But if he didn't do well, that there was sin. Now, this is the first time the word sin is used in the Bible. It's not the first time it takes place, but it's the first time the word sin appears. Now, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if not, then sin lies at your door. Now, unto thee shall be his desire, but thou shalt rule over him. What does the Hebrew say? It says, Cain, sin is at your doorstep, crouching like an animal, ready to spring on you when you open the door. That's what the Hebrew indicates. That sin is like a wild beast. What a picture of sin. And that if you open the door, that sin will spring on you and master you. But you must master it. The sad thing is that sin entered into the heart of Cain. Cain opened the door of his life to sin. And one sin led to another sin. You see, sin is not a single act. It's a progression. And ultimately, he ended up murdering his brother. Now, using this idea of doors, I want to paint a picture of four doors that Cain closed. He opened the door of sin, but in doing that, he closed the door. to four things. You know, life is built on relationships, living relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with my family, relationship with my friends, relationship with society around me, and even a relationship with myself. I must know myself and accept myself and be myself to the glory of God. Cain opened the door to sin and closed the door on all other relationships. He closed the door on his relationship to God. He closed the door on his relationship to his family. He closed the door on his relationship to society around him. And finally, he closed the door on himself, and he just went out a vagabond, a wanderer, in just despair. He became a restless wanderer. Cain is a picture of a lonely man. You know, loneliness is one of the biggest problems in society today. We have all these societies and groups, and we have cities, and we have television, we have music, and we have all these things to keep us entertained. But yet we live in loneliness and isolation. And there's a lot of lonely people out there because they have closed the door on their relationship to God. And once you close the door in your relationship to God, your life becomes isolated and alienated from Him, and it affects yourself and your relationship then to others. And so the first door that Cain closed is in verses 1 to 5. He closed the door on God through his unbelief. It says, verse 1, that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, verse 2, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, the Bible says that God instructed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. That's what they're doing. When it says Adam knew his wife, it doesn't mean he met her. Hi, Eve. Nice to meet you. It means they had a physical relationship and she became pregnant and she had a child. Now, God had promised in chapter 3, verse 15, that he would put enmity between the woman and the seed of the serpent, and that the serpent seed would bruise the head the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent, and that the serpent's seed would bruise the heel of the woman. That was a messianic prophecy. I believe here in Genesis 4:1 that when Eve gave birth to Cain and she said, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord, that she believed this to be the promised seed, promised in chapter 3, verse 15. She thought she had the deliverer. She thought that the Lord had given her actually the Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior, the one who would bruise the serpent's head and would conquer over sin. How wrong she was. And I believe that in the process of time, that when little Cain grew up, he began to raise Cain. That's where we get the phrase, let's raise Cain. And that Eve said, hey, what happened to this little deliverer of ours? He needs deliverance. You as parents know that when your child is born, they're so cute, first couple hours. And then they, wah! What happened to the cuteness? They want their milk. They want their way. And they have their little sin natures, and they're bent on mischievous deeds. And you have to spank them and correct them and guide them and direct them on the way to the Lord. Left to themselves, following their nature, they can be crooked little kids. You don't teach kids to lie, do you? Now, Johnny, if you ever get in a real tight spot, this is how you get out of it. No, man, I mean, lies just flow. I mean, they just come natural. You have to say, now, Johnny, you always need to tell Daddy the truth. You mustn't lie. And you have to reinforce that because they're bent on lying. Which we see even Cain was a liar. He lied to God, lied to himself. And so I believe in verse 2 that the time Abel was born, Adam and Eve were so frustrated with this child, they just said, oh, vanity. And that's what the name Abel means. How'd you like to have a name called vanity? Emptiness. Now, when I was born, my mom and dad were just kind of frustrated with life, and they said, ah, vanity. And they probably realized, hey, the deliverer hasn't come at this time, and they were longing for that. Now, though I believe that Cain and Abel are historical figures, they also are typical of the spiritual man and the natural man. Cain typifies the carnal man, the non-Christian. And Abel typifies the spiritual-minded man, the man of faith, the man of belief in God. Now, it doesn't mean that Cain wasn't religious. Oh, he was religious. But he wasn't truly a believer in God and coming to God in faith the way God had prescribed. Cain was religious only, and he persecuted his righteous brother Abel. How interesting. This becomes a picture of how the religious world persecutes the truly spiritual world. Those that are truly godly, those that are Christians, have always been persecuted by the religious world that is just religious but doesn't have conversion. They have churchianity but not true Christianity. And so these two fellows become pictures of the non-Christian and the Christian. And not just the non-Christian in Cain, but the religious non-Christian, the religious unregenerated man. Now it says that in the process of time, verse 3, how much time we don't know, but could have been many, many, many years. It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the fruit firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But in contrast unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord had not respect. Now stop right there for a minute. Cain brings an offering of the fruit of the ground and gives it to God. Abel takes one of his lambs. Now, Cain was a farmer. And so naturally, he brought from the fruit of the ground his fruits and his vegetables and possibly his flowers. And he gave them to God. Abel was a shepherd, first in the line of long, godly shepherds. Now, don't get the idea, as some falsely have, that there's something evil about being a farmer. Not so. Back in the Middle Ages, this was interpreted to be that farming was kind of a sinful trade. There isn't any indication that something wrong with bringing fruit, other than God looks on the heart. And the true crux here was that Abel's heart wasn't where it should have been. It had rebelled against God and also had not followed God's prescribed way to approach Him. Because the question needs to be answered as to why God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain's. Have you ever wondered why? I believe that when God killed the animals to cover Adam and Eve's sin, that he was instructing Adam and Eve that to approach him, there had to be bloodshed. You see, Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together, and they tried to present themselves to God with their fig leaves, their own righteousness, and it wouldn't cut it. And so God had to kill an animal. Blood had to be shed. There was a death. And then God covered their sin with their skins, or with the skins that God had provided. And I believe that now, because man had been driven from the presence of the Lord in the Garden of Eden, the only way to approach God, to come back into fellowship with God, was through blood sacrifice and through faith in that blood sacrifice, thus coming the way God had instructed them to come. And I'm sure that Adam had instructed Cain and Abel as to how God was to be approached. And who knows, maybe for years Cain had been buying lambs from his brother. Maybe he'd been exchanging fruit for the lamb. And then finally he said, you know what, I'm getting sick of this. I think my fruit's just as good as your lamb. And possibly as Cain watched Abel offer that lamb, he began to look at it with disdain, thinking, you know, that's gory. That's horrid. That poor little lamb to take it and kill it and its blood being shed and what a horrible thing. But he was forgetting that sin was a horrible thing. and that sin demanded a horrible payment, the life of an innocent. And it could be that over the process of time that Cain began to harden his heart against God and say, God, I can come any way I want. I can offer up my own sacrifices to you. I don't need to go the way that you've prescribed. And so we have the reference to the way of Cain, which is the way of self-righteous works. Human effort, human wisdom, human schemes, human sacrifice. This is what religion does. You know, Cain was the first man to start a religion. This is the origin of all false religions. And what is it based on? I will not come the way of the cross. I don't need to believe in this Savior crucified, bloodshed for me. I'm good. I go to church. I do good things. I've been baptized. I don't cuss or smoke or cheat. I'm a good person. God will accept me. No, He won't. God has prescribed the way by which He can be approached. And if you want to come to God, you must go through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. You know, sometimes Christians are accused of being too narrow-minded. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he must come through me and be saved. Oh, that's too narrow. All paths lead to God. Cain found out that wasn't true. You can't offer to God your righteousness. You can't offer to God the fruit of your own labor. Now, aesthetically, I'm sure that Cain's offering was more beautiful than Abel's. I can see the grapes and the bananas and the oranges and the apples, and I can see the vegetables, and he probably laced it in flowers. It probably had a sweet aroma, very pleasant to the eyes aesthetically. And I imagine that Cain sat back and looked at it and thought, oh yeah, isn't that beautiful? And God says, I won't accept it. There's only one way to come to me, and that's through blood. That's through death. The wages of sin are death. And I believe that he looked on in disdain at his brother Abel and thought, oh, how gory. You know, in Corinthians it says that some people that are non-Christians look at the cross and they say it's foolishness. They say, how stupid to think that a man could die on a cross and that would open up the way that we could come into God's presence. False religions are all based on this idea that I can be good and I can be righteous and I can work hard and I can give an offering to God that He will accept, and it's not true. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, that by faith Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. You see, there are two ways to get to God. One, the way God has prescribed through the cross of Christ, and one by human effort. That's the way of religion. One gets you to heaven, the other doesn't. It'll lead you to hell. There's a lot of religious people are going to have a stark awakening someday when they find out, like Cain, God won't take your fruit. He says, your righteousness are as filthy rags. I won't accept them. It must be faith in the blood of Christ. That lamb was the typical of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we must all come and bow in humble obedience. You see, Cain said, God, I'm not going to go your way. I'm going to go my way. You know where it all started? It all started with pride. I don't have to do what God said. I don't have to follow God's way. You know, there's going to be a lot of proud people in hell because they refused to confess their sin and bow before God in obedience to His approach. You see, we learn a lesson too about worship here. The Bible says that the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination unto God. You know, if you're not a Christian and you give money to God, it doesn't mean anything. Especially if you give money to God thinking that that's going to get you some brownie buttons in heaven. You think God gets turned on when you give to Him? Like God's up there counting it? Ooh, Gabriel, they gave a lot today. Ooh, let's bless them this week. But we have this mentality that, oh, I did this for God. Oh, I did this for God. You know, you want to know what God did for you? He died on the cross. shed his blood. And you're going to spurn his love, his gift of salvation, and think that you can offer to him your works? Not so. And in our worship, our hearts must come in faith. And we must worship him with an attitude of devotion and obedience. You know, the Hebrew word worship means to bow down. And we need to remind ourselves that when I sing, I need to bow down to God's will. Don't just praise him with your lips. Don't just lift your hands to the Lord and sing his praises. If you're going to go out of here and have a heart bent on disobedience and pride, if you're going to worship God, make it a total lifestyle that your life daily is yielded to him in obedience. In Isaiah chapter 1, God says, I don't care about your sacrifices. You lift your hands to me, but they're full of blood. God says, I don't want it. Where is your heart at this morning? You know, maybe you've closed the door to God. And you're beginning to be angry and lonely, and all these different hurting emotions have come into your life because you've closed God out. You know, even as Christians, having once invited Jesus Christ to come in and open the door of your heart, maybe there's areas in your life that you've closed to him. God, you can come in as my Savior, but don't take over as Lord. Lord, I still want to live this way, and I still want to have this compartment. Rather than throwing all the doors of your life open to him and letting him come in and take control. You see, the way of Cain was man's way. It was man's way of human scheme, pride, human effort. It appeals to the ego. It's aesthetically beautiful. But God's way is the way of the cross, the way of Calvary, the way of Christ, the way of sacrifice, shed blood. And we must all come God's way and humble our hearts before him. And so Cain shut the door on God because of his pride, his unbelief. And you and I can shut God out with our pride. The Bible says the proud God knows afar off. And we need to humble ourselves and open our heart to God and come in obedience to his way. Now, the second door that Cain closed was the door to his brother in verse 5 and 8. In the middle of verse 5, notice that after God's rejection of Cain's offering, it said that Cain was very wroth. That's the King James way for saying he was totally bummed. He was mad. You see, pride led to anger. I think there was some wounded jealousy there. When he saw that God accepted his brother's offering and not his pride was wounded. And he had this wounded pride, and he was jealous. And then he became bitter in anger. And so God comes to him. His countenance had fallen. And the Lord said, verse 6, unto Cain, why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? God said, if you would do well, you'll be accepted. But if not, then sin's lying at your door. Even here, God is trying to appeal in love and patience to Cain. He could have come and said, Cain, you know something? Your attitude stinks. You're dead. Snuffed him on the spot. If I was God, that's what I would have done. Aren't you glad I'm not God? But he said, oh, Cain, if you'll do right, if you'll obey me, if you'll humble your heart, you'll be accepted. You know, that's what God is saying to you this morning. He's saying, if you'll open your heart to me, if you'll obey my word, if you'll follow me, you'll be accepted. I'll bless you. You have a choice to make, either to close the door on God or to open it wide in obedience. Because Cain closed the door on God, sin took over. He was filled with anger. His countenance had fallen. And Cain, in verse 8, in the Hebrew, indicates that he said to his brother, come, let us talk in the field. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, if you're a parent this morning, can you imagine the heartbreak? Words cannot describe the heartbreak that Adam and Eve must have felt. Having one of your children kill the other. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve again were reminded of the foolishness of their sinful ways. Oh, Adam, Eve might have cried, it's our fault. If we'd only have obeyed God. If we'd have only just not eaten of that fruit that God told us not to eat of. You see, man begins to get so corrupt on earth, in just a few chapters, we find that God has to destroy all flesh in a worldwide flood. God creates, God builds up, God's putting together, sin is tearing down. God wants to heal your marriage. God wants to strengthen your home. Sin will tear it down. God wants to work in your heart and strengthen you and put you together. Sin will tear you apart. Sin breaks down. And it's only a few chapters that God says the wickedness of man has become so great that I must destroy all flesh off the earth. What a horrible thing. Now when it says there that Abel and Cain talked in verse 8, I wonder what they talked about. It could be that Cain started arguing with his brother and said, you know what? My fruit's as good as yours. You think you're so righteous. You say you just trust the Lord. Just believe in Jesus. That's enough to get you to heaven. Well, I want you to know, I've gone to church all my life. I've been baptized. I want you to know that I've sung in the choir. I've been a communion boy or altar boy or whatever. I want you to know how holy I am. And that's just as good as you. I mean, look at you. You've got problems. You've got mistakes. You're not perfect. And I'm sure that Abel's quiet, trusting response, just trusting the Lord, infuriated Cain. You think you're so righteous. And his pride, his jealousy, his heart now filled with anger. One thing leads to the next, and he slew his brother. Hit him with a club, stabbed him with a knife, I don't know, hit him with a rock. But this man, so religious, thinking it so horrible to offer a lamb on the altar, now is stooped so low to kill his own brother. The atrocities done in the name of religion, I can't believe. Religious bigotry, religious persecution. During the Inquisition, the Catholic Church killed thousands and thousands of believers because they didn't fall in the line. And then there was the Crusaders and all that came along, giving Christianity a black eye. Done, quote unquote, in the name of religion, killing people because they wouldn't convert to Christianity. That's not Christianity. Love opens the door. Hate closes the door. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, verse 10 to 12, I'll just read it, that this is how we know the children of God and how we know the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Clear distinction. The children of God, the children of the devil. He that does not love his brother is not of God. He's a child of the devil. But if you love and you have that righteousness in your life, then that's a mark of the fact that you're a child of God. For this is the message, John says, that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. You see, love is the mark of a true Christian. And we need to be careful that we don't shut the door on our lives to our brothers around us and our sisters, our family members, our friends, through hatred, through jealousy, wounded pride. Cain killed his brother because his works were righteous and he was jealous. I wonder this morning how many of us have maybe closed the door on a relationship to someone because of anger. You say, John, but you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know what they've said. No, I don't, but God does. And if you're a Christian, you've been forgiven. You have to be forgiving. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How can you be a forgiven individual and not be forgiving? It's inconsistent. If you have been forgiven by God, then you ought to be a forgiving person, no matter what they have done towards you. And it's a dangerous thing to close the door in your heart to God and to others because of your bitterness and because of your anger, because of your hatred. The way of Cain is the way that so many people go today. Pride, unbelief, human wisdom, self-righteousness, and then they are filled with anger. And they close the door in relationships with other people that are around them. There's a third door that Cain opened, and that's in verses 9 and 12, or Cain closed, and that's the door of dishonesty. He closed the door on himself because he wasn't honest with himself before God. You see, in verse 9, it said that the Lord came to him, and he said, Cain, where's your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. So now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood at thy hand. And when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Look at this, a fugitive and a vagabond. In the Hebrew, it's a restless wanderer shall thou be in the earth. You see where sin can lead you? To loneliness, isolation. God came to Cain when he could have snuffed him and just said, you're guilty of murder, you're dead. And he said, Cain, where's your brother Abel? Now Cain could have repented. He could have said, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned. Forgive me, I've killed my brother, I've murdered him, Lord. There was no remorse on Cain's part. He shows no sign of sorrow or remorse. He doesn't confess his sin, which the Bible tells us we should do. He lies to God. I don't know. Sure he did. He knew where his brother was. He was dead. You know how sin can just distort our rationale, our reasoning? So much so to the point where we think we can even lie to God? That we can fool God? You know, you can fool people. But you can't fool God. God knows your heart and He sees your heart. And I tell you, if there's one thing we need in the church today, it's integrity. We need to get rid of our phony baloney mask. How you doing, brother? Oh, great. Praise God. Just doing great. You leave church, you get in your car, and you go, I'm bummed. And I'm just tired of life. Your life is a shambles. Everything's falling apart. You come to church, and you put on your little Christian mask. You know, smile, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. Then you leave church and you take it off. Life's miserable. Oh, how I wish we could just be more honest with each other, more accepting, more loving, giving one another the benefit of the doubt. If I were in your shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. You know, the church is the only place we're called the Lord's soldiers, and we're in the Lord's army, but we shoot our wounded. You come to church, you know, and you've fallen into something, and you want prayer and support, and you really want to change, and somebody looks at you, oh, you've been wounded, huh? Well, I'll finish you up. Now get lost, sinner. Now, I'm not saying we should condone sin and encourage sin, but I'm saying let's face up to it and let's repent of it and let's confess it and be healed. What's this stuff? Oh, no, I don't know where my brother is. Baloney, you do too. And then he said, am I my brother's keeper? Like trying to throw the trip on him. Hey, if he's got problems, that's his problem. hey, if he's all messed up, if he's lost, if you don't know where he is, then why are you talking to me? We are our brother's keeper. And you know people that need prayer. I know people that need prayer. You need prayer. And we need to go after those people and pray for them and seek them out and seek to encourage them. It breaks my heart. There are people that come to our church and then they fall away and no one calls on them. No one seeks them out. No one prays for them. We just go, oh, well, kind of with a smack of the lips. I knew something was flaky about that guy. I knew there was something wrong. God help us. Let ye that are spiritual, Paul says in Galatians 6, when a brother or sister has fallen into sin, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you're also tempted. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. I need your prayers. I need your concern. I need your support. You need mine. We need one another. And if you can't bleed at the hospital, where can you bleed? Church is to be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. I'd like to run into the emergency ward at the hospital bleeding. They say, oh, you're bleeding. Please get out of here. You'll get blood on the carpet. Come into the church and you're bleeding. And people, ooh, cooties. This is the place where we come and we get our focus back on God. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts and we realize that we're kind of gone our way instead of God's way. We say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, bring me back in line. Lord, I rededicate my life to you this morning. Asaph said, when I got to the house of the Lord, then I got my focus back on God. If there's any hatred or bitterness or jealousy in your heart this morning, don't close the door, open it. And let God come in and let God bring healing and let God bring restoration. Don't lie to God, be honest with God. We need to be true to ourselves. We need to confess our sins. We're the problem. We blame others rather than really accepting the blame ourselves. But there's a fourth door that Cain closed. And that's in verses 13 to 15, and that's the door of despair. He gave up on life completely. For Cain said, verse 13, unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from thy face and from the face of all the earth. And from thy face I shall be hid, he said, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that anyone that finds me shall kill me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now let me say this real quick. Whatever the mark was, we don't know. Whatever that mark was, we do not know. And don't ever let anyone tell you what it is, because they don't know. It doesn't say. But it was an act of mercy and grace and kindness on God's part. Cain could have been killed. But notice his selfishness continues in verse 13. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Not my sin, not my iniquity, but my punishment. You know what the Bible calls this? Worldly sorrow. The opposite is godly sorrow. When a person sins and he says, gee, nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. All I did was rob a bank and they arrested me. I mean, I blew away the teller and now they want to put me in prison, man. You know, I've talked with guys in jail, talked with guys in prison, sitting behind bars, and they're just bitter at the world instead of broken before God. You know, it's easy to get bitter at others and bitter at the world and bitter, hey, everybody's ripped me off. Why don't you confess your sin and be broken before God and be healed? Why don't you admit it, that you've sinned against the Lord and you need to repent? God can bring healing and forgiveness. No, I mean, it's, you know, if they wouldn't have done that to me, if this wouldn't happen and this wouldn't happen and that wouldn't happen, and you become bitter rather than broken. Oh, what a blessing when you're broken before God. When you're broken before God and there's that cleansing and that restoration, and God takes the broken pieces of your life and He puts them back together and He makes you whole. And you can love God and you can love others and you can have fellowship with others. What a blessing that is. Cain closed the door on his own self because of his dishonesty, and he closed the door on despair. He despaired even of life, and he went out as a restless wanderer. He said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." You know what his religion got him? Cain's religion brought him only greater guilt, deep unrest, unhappiness, and restless wandering. Now he's a lonely man. You know, there's a lot of people that are in religious cults. My heart really goes out to them. They go around with this constant sense of guilt. They can't perform. They can't live up. They never have this assurance that their sins are forgiven. They feel isolated and lonely and guilty. We need to reach out to people in false cults and false religions. Share the love of God with them. Cain's religion of human effort, of human righteousness, took him to a place of loneliness and isolation. And his anger and his bitterness as he closed the door on his brother and closed the door on life. You know, a lot of people at this point commit suicide. They don't want to live anymore. I've talked to teenagers that don't want to live. 15, 16 years old, and they don't want to live. They've already tried to kill themselves many times. What a sad, sad thing when we close the door on God, how we become just despairing of life itself. Now, instead of running to the Lord, Cain ran from the Lord. I want you to notice what Cain did to try to cover his loneliness, try to fill the void in his life. He ran, verse 16, to the land of Nod, which means wandering, and the first thing he did, verse 17, was build a city. A city is a place where thousands of people are lonely together. You ever been in a big city? I've been in Hong Kong. It's a big city. Millions of people, over 5 million people in only a few square miles. You're talking wall-to-wall people. It's a lonely place. Very lonely place. Oh yeah, they've got the lights. Goes all night. But it's a lonely place. Cain thought he can just drown his despair and loneliness by starting a civilization. So we have the Cainites, the Canaanite civilization, a wicked civilization. We see a civilization without God. And what we see is a picture of the day which we live in today. And as I mentioned, only a few years later, God had to wipe them all out because of their wickedness, the Canaanite civilization. So he built a city. He thought, hey, I'll just get into having a great time. We'll open a casino, stay up all night, you know, and just really have the nightlife. And then it says in verse 18 that Enos was born. And he had Arad, and Arad begat Mahujalah. Mahujalah begat Methuselah. Methuselah begat Lamech. And this Lamech, verse 19, married two wives. Now we have the breakdown in the family. God's will is a monogamous relationship, one wife, not polygamy. And so this guy marries two women. He's full of lust and greed and takes two wives. And so polygamies begin to be practiced. Then verse 20, they got into material things, tents, cattle. And then verse 21, they got into music. It's a good way to drown your sorrow and your despair and your emptiness. Get into tunes. Crank the stereo. They got into the harp and the organ. Then in verse 22, Zillah bare a son, Tubal-Cain, and he was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Now this was artwork, probably metalwork for weapons and also metalwork for farming. So they got into the artistic things of life. And then Lamech becomes violent in verse 23 and 4. It says, Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, and hearken to my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. And if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. You know, in the Hebrew, Lamech's song, this is a song from Lamech, and it's in a form of poetry. It's about murder. This guy wounded me, really bummed me out, so I killed him. And he's proud of it. He's proud of his killing somebody in self-defense. And he said, man, if God said sevenfold shall be the judgment on Cain if anybody messes with him, somebody touches me, it's 77-folds. Kind of interesting, it was Jesus who said we should forgive our brothers 70 times 7, exact same amount. Lamech's filled with pride here. This is a proudful boast of I killed him, and he messed with me. And what do we have stickers on our car. You touch my truck, I break your face. Isn't that a blessing? Don't we live in a loving, loving world? Or the make my day syndrome, you know? Mess with me and I'll blow you away. I'll savor that. Sick. We live in a sick world. It's filled with violence. Oh, but we're artistic. We're cultured. We go to orchestras and listen to music. We've lost God's design for the family. We're just like the Canaanite civilization today. See, the problem with Cain was he was substituting the things of God for the things of the world. That's why people are lonely today. You know what somebody called loneliness? They called it the malnutrition of the soul that comes from living on substitutes. I like that. If you're lonely today, it's because you've been living on substitutes. Money won't make you happy. A marriage can't make you happy. I've been really sad and lonely and bummed out. Now that I'm married, all my problems will disappear. You need a healing, brother. We finally got a new house. Beautiful, beautiful home. Now we're going to be happy. No, you won't. Yeah, I finally got that raise. Finally got that raise at work, man. I'm really going to be happy now. Don't lie to yourself. It's like the carrot in front of the donkey. You'll never be satisfied. You see, this is what Cain did. He substituted pride and unbelief for humility and faith. He substituted jealousy and anger for love and forgiveness. He substituted lying and deceit for truth and integrity. And it resulted in loneliness and despair instead of fellowship and communion with God. Oh, how I wish I could communicate these things. Because there's so many lonely, angry, bitter, despairing, empty people in the world today. Because it started with them closing the door of their life to God. I can go my own way. I don't need God. I'll do it my way. Frank Sinatra was famous for that one. And it leads to a lonely life. Cain should have turned to the Lord and called upon his name, but instead he ran from him. Notice that God finally brought the godly seed in verse 25 and 6, that Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. The word means appointed. His name means appointed from God. For God hath, she said, appointed unto me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And so to Seth, to him also was there born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then he began to call upon the name of the Lord, or men began to call upon the name of the Lord. There's two ways. There's the way of Cain, and there's the way of Christ. You can go the way of Cain, or you can go the way of Christ. And if you've fallen away from the Lord and you've closed the door of your heart to Him this morning, you need to open it up. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and have fellowship with him. You see, men begin to call on the name of the Lord, and that's the secret today. You need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to get on your knees and you need to say, God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my anger. Forgive me for my pride. Forgive me, Lord, for closing the door of my life to my friends and my family. And Lord, fill me with purpose and fill me with meaning. You see, the answer to the way of Cain is the way of Christ. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, Cain rejected God's way, and he went his own. Cain rejected God's truth, and he believed a lie, and he lived a lie. And as the result, he lost out on life. He killed his brother and killed himself. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we come to Him, we can experience direction in our life. The truth can set us free, and we can experience His abundant life. It all starts when we call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray.